Our scripture today is from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I'm actually going to read verse 8 also. Oh, no, wait, I don't need that. Let me grab that. my Bible, that's what I'm looking for. Okay. Before we read this, let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this time to be in your word together. This time to see your grace and your love as you give us your word freely. We pray to you that our hearts and minds are open, that we may see what it is that you want us to hear your word and be changed, even if it's just a little bit. We also pray for your mercy upon the sermon, that it too may be used for your glory and yours alone. We thank you for all that you are, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 8. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and to all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It is known that in our Christian lives that we have certain foundational tenets. Those things that are very important to us that all Christians should know and do. Bible reading and devotional, you know, being one of them. Worshiping God being another. Going to worship, being a part of church, you know, like this church, you know, worship is a very important part. And prayer being one of the most basic of the tenets that God desires us to do. And prayer is one of those things that many of us have done at many different points in our lives. And we learn prayer from a very young age. One of the first prayers that parents teach their children is also probably one of the scariest prayers. I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You got this. I pray the Lord my soul to take. Anything else? That's it. I don't know why we teach that to our kids. I think it's that we want to teach that whatever happens in our lives, God is there. That there are some things that we can't control, such as sleep and what happens in the midst of it, that God still has control of it. Though as scary as that prayer might be, it teaches an important lesson. We have other prayers in our lives that we pray together, do we not? We did the Lord's Prayer, right? How many of you pray that all-important prayer before you eat? You know that prayer. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for this grub, yay God. Well, maybe not quite that prayer, but we pray before we eat. Many of us pray before we go to sleep. Some of us pray before when we wake up in the morning. There was a survey taken. One survey was taken in the 1970s, 1980s, and again the same survey was taken today, 2000s, 2020, something like that. The survey was, what do you do as soon as you wake up? And the survey today is, as soon as you wake up, most people tend to look at the news. surf social media. Check their messages that came in overnight or peruse email. 1980, the number one answer, what do you do as soon as you wake up? Go pee. The number one answer in 1980. So I don't know. But as Christians, a very helpful thing as soon as you wake up is to pray. To give our lives to God. And so the question is that we ask ourselves, and that this scripture today asks us to ask ourselves, what then is prayer? Now we talked about it with the children today, and very simply we can say that prayer is talking to God. But what's the purpose of prayer? Why do we talk to God? Why is it that we tell God those things that are on our hearts or that are on our minds? What is prayer's function? Is it to get something? Is it to change God's mind about something? Is it to change our mind about something? Is it to receive that $1 million that the lottery is giving away? I read a comic once. It was about this lady who was walking down the street, and she encountered this gentleman, and the gentleman had a mohawk, you know, with the big spikes, you know, it's a very impressive hairstyle. It takes a long time to accomplish. He gauged out his ears. Do you know what that means by gauging out the ears? Makes his earlobes wider. I gauged out my tongue once. It was big enough I could almost fit a pencil through it. You know, I don't know why we do these things, but you know, there it is. And he has an earring in his nose. And she says to him, "Why?" And he responds by saying, "I like it." And she responds by saying, "I'm going to pray for you." And he responds by giving her a weird look. And so the rest of the comic that I read is that it shows God's email folders, you know, with all the prayers that people pray to him and some of his answers to them and things like that. And it shows that God's spam folder just received one more prayer. So, what are the prayers we pray? Are they all good? Are they not? Does God hear them? Does God answer them? What's the whole point of praying? In this particular scripture that we read today, it says, "I urge them, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. For this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth." Prayer has many functions, and one of them is we pray that people know God. There's a man, a United Methodist pastor by the name of Adam Hamilton. Some of you may have heard of him. Adam Hamilton believes that prayer is not only a petition to God, but is also a call to responsibility. That when we pray, for example, I pray that so-and-so hears and understands God's love. Oftentimes God says to us, "Then go show them." Sometimes we are the answer to our own prayer. I think, put very simply, prayer is merely a surrendering to God's will and God's love. When we pray, we don't always get what we pray for. Is there anyone here that God has told them no? But as I look back at my life, there are times I am happy that God has told me no. When I don't get into my Ferrari, I am not happy that God has told me no. The truth is that we pray to a God who loves us and cares for us. We say that mantra every morning in order to start service. God is good all the time, God is good. And it's not just to declare that God is good, but it is a reminder that God is good. That when we pray and we lift up our hearts and our lives to God, it is to a God who does love us. A God who wants us to divulge what is in our life. A God who wants us to relate to God. A God who wants us to surrender to God. I would almost guarantee that there are people in here who hold things in their heart that even their closest loved ones know nothing about. And yet God knows our hearts and our lives completely. Every dark corner, every shameful act, everything that we wish would go away but is still there. And yet God hasn't distanced Himself from our sides one little bit. God doesn't turn a deaf ear when we pray, but embraces us in the midst of those prayers. How then should we pray? There was a great debate among pastors, three pastors sitting in a restaurant, and they were debating what the best way is to pray. And one pastor said, the best way to pray to God is to stand upright, to lift your hands up to the heavens, to look at, lift your eyes up to the heavens, and to pray to God with all your heart. The other pastor said, no, that's much too loud. The best way to pray to God is to kneel beside your bed, quietly behind a closed door. That is the humble way to pray. The other pastor says, no, that's far too mundane. The best way to pray to God is to lay down with your nose in the carpet, to stretch your arms and legs out, and to profess to the Lord all you have. And a man who was overhearing this very, very deep conversation came over to them wearing farmer overalls, drinking a cup of coffee, and he says, I'm listening to your conversation, and I've got to add, recently I prayed the best prayer that I have ever prayed in my entire life. As I was stuck upside in my well and my feet were above my head. So how do you pray? And the best way is to pray wherever you are. Whatever is going on in your life in that moment. Whatever posture you are taking. Martin Luther was known to pray in the toilet as he was going to the bathroom. That was his favorite place to pray. There is no place off limits to God. Christ hears our prayers. The thing is that there's no reason not to pray. I talk to many people in the hospital or in the nursing home, people who have been part of the church and active in the church their entire life. And they said, I can't serve God the way I want to anymore. All I can do now is pray. Saying this like a disappointment. Praying is so vitally important to who we are as Christians and to what Christ does in our own lives and to the lives of those around us. That now that they are where they are, it's not that they can only pray and that's all they're capable of. It's now that they are free to do something that is so important to the life of the church. Praying is not only the basics of Christianity, it is the foundation on which we live. Last story about prayer, because it takes many forms and no situation is barred from prayer. There was a woman who went to a seminar about prayer. And the pastor was standing up there talking about prayer and that you can pray to God in any situation at any time and it doesn't matter what's going on, whether you're happy or sad or angry or just unsure. The woman waited afterwards for the pastor and he came down to talk to her and she said, 3 months ago, I lost my husband, and 2 months after that, I lost my son. God took them away from me. I am angry. I haven't prayed in my life in a long time. God says, share your anger. Or not God, the pastor said, share your anger. If that's where you are, God will meet you where you are. So she left, went to her car. He was a little concerned about her and followed her at a distance. She got to the car. She opened the door. She took a deep breath. She looked up in the heavens. She raised her hands and clenched her fists. And she swore 3 times to God. The SH word, if you must know. After she did that, real loud, she took a deep breath. She got in the car. She drove away. God hears our prayers, wherever we might be. Whatever our hearts are feeling, God wants us to approach God in any of those moments. We pray for those who are around us. We may not know the answers, but God desires us to pray. And so today, to close our service, to close the sermon portion, we are going to pray. And so I'm going to start us off, and I'm going to pick some topics to pray for, and I would like you to pray silently for those topics. I'll give you a little bit of time, pick some more, and then we'll close. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly God, Father, we thank you that you desire us to come to you, and so we do so at this time. We thank you that you hear our prayers, and we trust you with the answers, whatever they may be. And we pray that you too use us as you will. So today we lift up in our prayers, and as your book of Timothy instructs us, we pray today for our president, for our government officials, for the congressmen, for the senators. We pray for our mayors. We pray for those who are in charge today. Pray, Lord, for our state of Pennsylvania. We pray for this community of Trafford. We pray for the denomination that we are part of in the United Methodist Church. We pray for this church that we are part of, Trinity United Methodist Church. We pray, Lord, for the person sitting next to us, behind us, and in front of us. And Lord, we pray for ourselves. Lord, hear our prayers. Amen. Close with this prayer today. God, it is true that no eye has seen nor ear has heard what wonderful things you hold in store for your children. Yet in these moments with you, we have seen more clearly and listened more deeply. We give you thanks. Amen and amen. And go in peace.